Hunnic Outcast Easter Spectacular. But be warned, you may not find any Easter eggs, but you will be finding some plot spoilers here and there and some salty language, so listener discretion is advised.
Here comes Peter Cottontail, hopping down the bunny trail, hippity-hoppity-happy Easter day.
Happy Easter, everyone, from Hunnic Outcast. Hunnic Outcast here, never question ever, you know the drill. And this is the first Easter special. Now, again, good research, the history of Easter. I think, you know, many religious beliefs will tell you the true story of Easter and what it probably has to do with bunnies and candy and eggs and coloring eggs and all that. There's also a great South Park episode that was out back, I think, in season 11. That's probably one of the best South Park episodes I've ever seen. And I will be discussing my top South Park episodes in a not-too-distant future, and that one is going to be on there. But, you know me, I wanted to do something different. And as for my religious beliefs, for argument's sake right now, I guess technically I'm Jewish, but I'm now an atheist, and that's just the way it is for many, many reasons. But in the meantime, what do I feel or think about Easter, about the true nature, and, you know, Passover tonight, and this weekend we're going to be getting a ton of Easter specials, I suppose, including the famous South Park one, I know on Sunday, the Ten Commandments. And I was close to doing a Ten Commandments review, as well as Exodus. I haven't seen Exodus, so I gotta sit down and watch. And Ten Commandments, I finally broke down after many, many years and buying it on DVD. You could look for that as well in the not-too-distant future. But in the meantime, tonight I'm doing something. I'm going to be doing something different, like I did for the Cthulhu review or discussion. Well, it's got a bunny or a rabbit, which I'm sure has something to do with Easter. Or then again, if the rabbits and the candy and the colony of Easter eggs don't really have to do anything with the true meaning of Easter, then neither does this discussion. But, you know, my love for Japanese folklore, and I must confess, I've always wanted a pet rabbit, I decided to do a quick discussion on Usagi Yojimbo, the rabbit samurai bodyguard for hire. I first heard about this character during the 87 Turtles cartoon, and I was not a fan of his. As far as I know, for the 87 cartoon, he came from another dimension. He was trapped in our universe. He was friends with the Turtles, but he stayed with a friend of Hamato Yoshi, and occasionally the character would come and go. Now, in the 2003 cartoon, Usagi Yojimbo stayed in his dimension, and every now and then he would literally, you know, no pun intended, hop from his dimension to ours and pay a visit. And there was a rhinoceros, but his name was Gen, or Gen, or I think Genji for some reason, 2003 cartoon. There was even a warthog, but it was not Bebop and Rocksteady, mind you. It was just coincidentally two other, you know, characters. And we're going to talk about them, and I'm going to talk about, picked up at in the Kindle store right now for download, a Usagi Yojimbo series, or trade digital series that I got through Kindle, that I'm just going to be discussing a little bit about the first story. And it does have a crossover with our favorite Turtles. And the way the Turtles come in from our dimension into Usagi's dimension is interesting. However, these would be the Mirage Comic Turtles, I think. This book is in black and white, and the only way to decipher one turtle from another are their weapons, not their personalities, as we'd see years later. But I picked up the Usagi Yojimbo Saga Book 1 by, you know, Stan Saki. I have to admit, I'm really hoping if TMNT 14, which, you know, came out this August, hinted that they were going to mutate rabbits, I'm hoping that somehow Usagi will make an appearance and we'll get some sort of Usagi movie. I do think there have been And there have to be rumors out there for a video game. I'm sure it's got to be out there somewhere, fan-made game. I have not seen one. I think with the PlayStation 2 and GameCube games that came out for the 2003 cartoon, I have them, but, you know, my GameCube was on the fritz for a while. I've got to sit down and play them, and I've heard mixed reviews. One of them deals with the Battle Nexus, and again, it's based on a 2003 cartoon where characters from different dimensions, you know, fight in a tournament, and Usagi just happens to be there. Mortal Kombat in a way, but on the other hand, even though it's Mortal Kombat, there's no fatalities. If anybody is beaten instead of a finish him, the defeated opponent is transported either back to their dimension, or they're just transported into a seat of the arena where they could just sit and observe the one true victor. So it's, you know, the defeated opponent's choice. So it's, you know, one or the other. But Usagi Ujimbo, I think that's the first time I saw him in the 2003 cartoon. And then there was another episode where we saw him in his dimension, so on and so forth. So, yeah, it's hard to get your hands on the 2003 cartoon because I don't know what... I know that Nick now has bought the rights, so I'm not too sure when we're going to see a complete series of the 2003. I'm sure it's going to happen because, again, it's probably the most bootlegged cartoon out there, and I know there are some episodes on YouTube. I have taped the show off of VHS, and I transferred it onto a DVD. It's not the best quality. I don't have all the episodes. I only have a few, but I'm assuming that one day... and I cannot wait, because when that happens, I will be viewing the hell out of that 2003 cartoon, as well as some other Turtles-related stuff. But tonight, get back to the Usagi Ujimbo saga. So, I'm just going to take a quick break, and when I come back, do a brief history lesson, and talk about, in Book 1, the first story, Shades of Death. And I'll be right back, right after this.
This is the best one I've had in the month. You need to listen up a bit, Ronan.
What are you?
Assassin? A bounty hunter?
I am Murakami Kenosuke. Again, to my friends, I'm a bounty hunter myself.
I am a Ujimbo.
So let me just dive in a little bit with a history lesson regarding this character, Usagi Ujimbo. Best I can get, you know, again, sorry, last minute with Wikipedia. He's a rabbit bodyguard, Usagi Ujimbo, I guess is the literal term. Created by Stan Saki. It is taking place during the Edo period of Japanese history, which is anthropomorphic animals replacing humans. It does focus, of course, on the Ronin warrior Mimato Usagi, whom was based on a famous swordsman family. He does spend most of his time wandering the land on a pilgrimage, occasionally selling his services as a bodyguard. There are apparently some video games to Usagi. There's one on the iOS. I had heard of it. I had forgotten about it. I don't think I ever downloaded or played it, you know, because with most of these iOS games, it's, they're not much of a challenge, but, I think you could finally set a controller to it. And I think there's also a Commodore 64 game, but I'm not too sure. He, of course, has appeared a few times in the TMNT comics. As I said, there is a toy line. There's a 2003 toy line. There's a 1987 toy line. He, of course, has received 4 Eisner Awards, of course, in 96 for Best Letterer, Talent Deserving of Wide Recognition, 1999 Eisner Award for Best Serialized Story, and the 2012 Eisner Award for Best Lettering. There have been, of course, film references to Usagi Ujimbo, as I said, with the TMNT 2014 version, and apparently there are some monsters that were in the Volume 2 of Usagi Ujimbo that appeared in... There are tons and tons and tons of graphic novels. There's about 29. There's an Omnibus collection, 4 of them. There was a Space Usagi animated series that was supposed to come out in the late 80s, early 90s. I guess it was canceled because of the failure of the Bucky O'Hare cartoon, which I kind of remember. And there is a Space Usagi toy out there, which I have never even heard of. Apparently, there are 2 Usagi Ujimbo role-playing games that were made in the late 90s. Again, never really heard of them. There are, again, 2 video games. There's Samurai Warrior, The Battles of Usagi Yojimbo, and the 2013 Usagi Yojimbo Way of the Ronin. They seem to be both side-scrolling hack-and-slash action games. Now, the Samurai Warrior... Yeah, okay. This one was for the Commodore 64, the Amstrad CPC, and the ZX Spectrum. And it came out in 1988. And it was on the cassette tape and floppy disk. Well, for Commodore, that would make sense. Looking at the graphics, it's pretty much cut-and-dry Commodore 64. Was a side-scrolling adventure where Usagi Yojimbo had to defeat opponents in sword fights and also had encounters with other characters. For example, priests who should carry cane and utter Zen Buddhist koans, such as if you see the Buddha on the path, kill him. Usagi is often attacked by bandits and enemy ninja. These opponents frequently disguise themselves as harmless peasants, villagers, or priests. Although progress is always left to right, there are no branches along the way that allow some gameplay liberty. There is also a sword training level with bales of hay instead of enemies. The scoring system is based on karma. Doing good deeds raises Usagi's karma, which would make sense for this type of character. Doing bad deeds would reduce it, which also makes sense for this character. Okay. He will perform seppuku, which is a form of Japanese ritual suicide by disembowelment. That's interesting that if he performs bad deeds, this character will kill himself. This must have been a controversial game right there. Good deeds include killing armed opponents and donating money to peasants and priests. Conversely, attacking priests or unarmed characters or even drawing a sword in front of them reduces, besides turning them hostile. The game was originally envisioned as a much larger open-world experience, but due to hardware and memory limitations of the Commodore 64, which I don't even know why it was distributed on the Commodore 64 in 1988, because by that point, you had Nintendo and the Sega Master System, and a year away you'd have Game Boy, you know, for which it was originally developed, numerous features had to be cut from the final project. Likewise, the karma system was downscaled into a simplistic numeric system, which acted as an on-screen encounter that led Usagi to commit suicide if it fell under zero. In the original game design documents, karma was envisioned as a more fulfilled reputation system, which would affect the NPC's views and actions towards Usagi. And the reception here, Zab64 enjoyed the game, describing it as an excellent adaptation of the original beat-em-up theme and a good conversion of the comic. It was awarded an overall rating of 91. Again, if this was 1988 when this game came out, I already had Nintendo, so I was not playing. Now, the 2013 game, there's not much on it. Wow, that sucks. Well, I don't know if it got good reviews or not, but it is an iOS game, so who the hell knows. But as again, I have book one, so let's see. Let's get back into the history of the comic here. The books are primarily episodic, with underlining larger plots which create long, extended storylines. Though there are some novel-length narratives, the stories include many references to Japanese history and Japanese folklore, and sometimes include mythical creatures. The architecture, clothes, weapons, and other objects are drawn with a faithfulness to period style, which would make sense if it's supposed to be 17th century Japan. There are often stories whose purpose is to illustrate various elements of Japanese arts and crafts, such as the fashioning, kites, swords, and pottery. Those efforts have been successful enough for the series to be awarded a Parents' Choice Award in 1990 for its educational value through Saki's skillful weaving of facts and legends into his work. Again, that makes sense, and this is why I hated the 2014 version of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, because while you're cramming advertisements and pop culture references, even the IDW Turtles, I don't feel my brain cells dying when I'm reading those comics. So, yeah, this is occasionally a history lesson, and who says you can't learn something from comics? Again, so 2015, they're releasing, or at least online, Kindle started to take pre-orders, and you can download the Usagi Yojimbo Saga, and I have book one. And again, there are several stories, Shades of Death, the Shao, I'm sorry if I'm not pronouncing this correctly, I'm sure I'm not. But again, I apologize. The Brink of Life and Death. You get introduction. You get some great artwork by Stan Saki. And this has been distributed by Dark Horse Books. I had said on the pullback with TFG One Mike, I was never going to read another Dark Horse book again because of Tomb Raider series. But with Hellboy and Usagi, and even Evil Dead, I'm sure I'm going to get back into reading the series again. So, there is a foreword by James S. Rich from Portland, Oregon. It's a huge one. It's about 2 pages. I'm just going to read the first 2 paragraphs. If this is your first time reading Usagi Jimbo, then congratulations. Well, that would be me. You're really in for something special. I can say that with confidence because the stories collected here represent my first true experience with reading Usagi Yojimbo as well. Nearly 20 years ago, when I was a junior editor at Dark Horse Comics, a mere pup in both life and career, Usagi Yojimbo became the first book I was in charge of all my own. Stan Saki had been publishing the book throughout Mirage Studios, hence the crossover with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles that leads the way here. And yes, they do make an appearance. But they have closed up shop, and he come to Dark Horse. Diana Schultz was the editor-in-chief, and she suggested that I take the helm. Well, now we understand why we have some of the, you know, the collaborations here, or the, put together. I'm not ashamed to admit that when I saw the first page of Origin Tale, the remarkable full-page drawing of Usagi in battle astride a horse, trampling his enemies, I got a little misty-eyed remembering the old days. I suppose it's fitting that Origin Tale is now the lead story for this omnibus, because it was originally the first new Usagi page that Dark Horse ever published. The short recap was the lead feature in Usagi Jimbo Volume 3, Number 1, our debut. Stan Saki was my Katsushashi, I know I'm not pronouncing that correctly, patiently watching me stumble through his comic garden, gently prodding me into finding my way. So again, if this is your first time, welcome aboard and strap in for the ride of your life, and if it's your second, third, or 100th time, do the same. Usagi Yojimbo only gets better with age, and of course, this foreword was written by James S. Rich, Portland, Oregon, April 2014. Now, we do get a list of the cast of the characters, which is Usagi Yojimbo. After the death of his lord, Mifune, in the Battle of the Adachi Plain, retainer Usagi Yojimbo chose the warrior's pilgrimage, becoming a wandering ronin in search of peace, practicing the warrior code of Bushido. Usagi avoids conflict whenever possible, but when called upon, his bravery and fighting prowess are unsurpassed. Then we have another character that I'm not familiar with, Tomiyama. I'm sure I'm not pronouncing that correctly either. Trained in her father's Falling Rain School of Swordsmanship, she serves as personal bodyguard and chief advisor of the young Lord Norikyu of the Jisu clan. Again, I apologize if I'm not pronouncing any of these correctly. Tomi is perhaps Yusaki's equal as a fighter with her duels to date and the ties. Actually, I am familiar with this character. She was in the 2003 cartoon. In one of the episodes, when Leonardo entered Usagi's universe. Then we have Gen, which is the rhinoceros. Descendant of samurai nobility, he fell into poverty when his family pursued a vendetta and vowing never to be poor again, he turned to bounty hunting. Gen never fails to stick Usagi with a check for a meal or an inn and swears to be concerned only for himself, but his soft side sometimes briefly emerges. Then we have Kitsune, a street performer who believes a girl has to do what she can to get by. She makes extra money as a pickpocket, but steals from only those who deserve it. She and Usagi have been friends for many years, since the day she stole his purse and he stole it back. And then, of course, we have Sensei Katsushi. Once a master of his own school of swordsmanship, he lives as a hermit in the mountains near the village where Usagi grew up, seeing Kusagi defeat a gang of local thugs. A youthful Usagi begged to become his pupil, a request he eventually granted. And then there is this bizarre mutant rabbit-looking thing with strangly hair, Jay. If a samurai's weapon is his soul, all one needs to know as a Jay is that his blade is sword black. Despite claiming to be an emissary of the gods sent to wipe out evil on Earth, Jay appeared indiscriminate in killing and was specifically targeting Usagi for death. So that's the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 characters. Get to the opening, of course, and we see, you know, as discussed in the foreword, Usagi trampling all his enemies on his horse and fighting off these cat-like ninja creatures. And after he's finished, and we get dragons and ninja cats in the background, and of course we have Tomei helping him, We get, of course, to him going back on his pilgrimage. And as it discusses in the description, he continues to wander alone across the nation, over mountains deep, into valleys, through towns and farmlands, and along rugged coasts searching for harmony. And of course, then we get into, you know, Shades of Death. It starts off with Gen and Usagi on a mountain, trapped by these ninja cats, and Usagi and Gen just feel that this is the last moments on Earth, so they're going to go out fighting. And they're taking out several of these cat ninjas, and eventually Usagi decides that he's going to jump off the cliff into a stream, in which he's going to jump off into a river, and Gen doesn't know how to swim, but he has no choice, so they both jump into the water, and the ninja cats retreat. Usagi and Gen, of course, have their fight, because Gen apparently knew of a shortcut for their pilgrimage, because Gen will eventually join Usagi in many missions, but, you know, for now, he's a freelance bounty hunter, and he runs into Usagi every now, but eventually they become, I guess, full partners. In the meantime, Usagi and Gen have a fight because of the shortcut they entered sacred land, and that's the reason why these ninja cats were attacking. And then, out of the bushes comes Splinter, an ancestor of Splinter. It's pretty much a Mirage comic version of Splinter, even though it looks like a fox, but yes, it is Splinter, and he takes Usagi and Gen out with his staff. Then he decides to call himself Kagera. Again, I hope I'm pronouncing this correctly. But he takes Usagi and Gen back to their village, in which they claim that they need help because there's going to be a great evil coming. Even though Kagera looks like a rat, it's, you know, Kagera looks like a fox. It, you know, he is definitely a rat, and I'm sure an ancestor of Hamato Yoshi, a.k.a. Splinter. And there are many ninja cats that come and start to set fire to his village and people's homes. The Ancient Wise Rat, which is pretty much what I'm going to call him from on the story, asks one of the peasants to fetch four turtles at the river. And he conducts a spell, which, it's an interesting little spell. He goes into a trance. He grabs these four turtles. He pours water on them. And he goes, Tenchi, Duoso, Marazzi, Wizards, Heaven, Earth, Animals, and Turtles. And these four turtles turn into the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And that's how they transport from our universe into, you know, Usagi's universe. That, you know, you have to get four turtles and their souls transport into four regular turtles, if you can understand that. Then we get some more panels where there's a guard at the gate of Sensei's village. And Ninja, you know, he's looks like Winnie the Pooh. Like, oh bother, he's giving that type of look. And these ninja cats just happen to sneak into the Sensei's village. And then we can, of course, get the four turtles. And again, these are the kind of like the Mirage Turtles. We can tell them by their weapons, not their personalities. But apparently Donatello is familiar with Usagi. And then Leonardo was kind of familiar with Usagi. So Sensei explains to them that they need their help because they're going to be attacked again by these ninja cats from this other, you know, village. Leonardo says, because him being the leader, says, of course, will help, and it's hard to tell again, because we just see the turtles from the neck up, so I'm not too sure if that's Mikey or Raph, but one of them says, what are we getting ourselves into, and the other three turtles, unlike Leonardo, are not too sure if they want to, you know, they've been transported to this universe, and they're not too sure if they want to help. The Sensei, of course, says, maybe next time I should just use some frogs, which, of course, you know, it's a reference to that 87, you know, cartoon with the, Teenage Ninja Frogs. But anyway, the ninja cats come to the Sensei's village, and they start setting fire again to the village, and Usagi does his best to try to take out one of the ninja cats out, but then I believe Leonardo has been captured, so the turtles do their best to try to help Usagi and his people. There are many, many battles. There's a lot of battles going on while the Sensei's village has been overrun and Leo has been captured. It's not a bloody sword fight like previous Mirage comics, mind you. It's more tongue-in-cheek humor. Originally, with Mirage comics, Leonardo would use his swords and, you know, stab somebody through an eye and you see blood, even though it was a black-and-white comic. Here it's a little bit more of cartoon violence. When the cats are being hit, they have like the cartoon squash and stretch bug eyes, which is interesting. But Leo has been captured. Then we get some sort of of course, and the sensei has been captured as well. And then, of course, we have a conversation with, you know, I guess with, it seems like Mikey and Raphael. Again, these are the Mirage Turtles. Talking to Usagi about, you know, how in this universe, man has evolved from animal. They have some squabbles, but, you know, the turtles are willing, you know, to help Usagi get their friends back, and I'll discuss the rest of the comic right after.
Hey, GeekCast listeners. Do you ever listen to Punisher Body Count and think to yourself, this show would be awesome if it had less toilet humor and was not about the Punisher? If so, join me, Emily Williams, as I class up the Punisher guys on Dane and Jake Get Classy. We're like the Oprah Book Club of comics. You'll hear us discuss famous works like The Dark Knight Returns and The Grove, along with graphic novels no one else is talking about, like Blue Monday and Blankets. You can find us at DaneandJakeGetClassy.wordpress.com or on iTunes.
Trash Video is your one-stop video shop in Sleazoid City.
Who the fuck is that dickhead?
I don't know.
We have the best rental stock of horror, cult, B-grade movies available on VHS.
Movies with corpse rape? Oh, let me get set.
Blu-ray? Fuck that shit! VHS!
Faces of Death is a family film.
Our professional, friendly, and knowledgeable staff are here to help you.
Hey, Roxy, after the shift, you wanna go watch a porno with me?
Shut up, Seth, I'm doing my nails.
So stop on by the store today.
I smell like video tapes in here.
TrashVideoPodcast.com.
Pixels in the Animation is the GeekCast Radio Network's video game cartoon review show. We are covering every episode of 9 different video game cartoons. Join TV's Mr. Neil and myself, TFG and Mike, as we trek through multiple Mario tunes, Zelda, Captain N, Mega Man, Sonic, and we are also driving through Donkey Kong Country. Pixels in the Animation is 100 episodes of video game cartoon goodness, so tune in to help us find the Pixels in the Animation, which you can find every Wednesday on iTunes and www.geekcastradio.com.
Now we're back to the agreement where the turtles will help Usagi and Gen rescue their friends. So we get to the enemy village, and of course they have captured said captors. And, of course, they're more concerned about who their opponent's going to be. And we, of course, have one of the turtles that has been injured due to the battle and been losing a lot of blood. Of course, Raphael, because I can tell by the size sticking out of his shell on the back, is like, why do we have to go after this sensei right after? Anyway, Michelangelo goes, hey, we're the good guys, remember? Besides, he's the only one who can send us home. We kind of get a little bit of Raph and... Then, of course, we get to the breach of the enemy's village, and unfortunately there are a bunch of pin needles that come out of nowhere and are about to attack again, but thankfully, it looks like it doesn't show us what, I'm gonna say it's Donnie that uses shell as, it is bamboo darts. And of course we get more of the ninja cats, and Mikey's hiding in the bushes, able to take out one of the ninja cats. They get to the village, and of course, they're surrounded as usual, but Raphael comes out of nowhere. They're able to take out all the ninja cats, like the Foot Clan. Well, that's pretty much it. They're able to take all of them out, and they're able to rescue Sensei and Leo, and Usagi apparently disappears for a while, and we, of course, have who's been helping the ninja cats is... The one who's been helping the ninja cats, I think, if I understand, is Kitsune. For argument's sake, I think it is Kitsune. I mean, the way that she is drawing and everything, and a girl needs to get by on her money, I think Kitsune has been helping the enemies take out the sensei's village. And unfortunately, when the turtles come in, and Usagi and Gen come in and defeated, she, unfortunately, her life is meaningless. And as the enemies retreat, and she's somewhere at a stream just... bathing herself, we have one of the new leaders of this clan that takes Kitsune hostage, but then Usagi comes out of nowhere and starts to attack the ninjas. Kitsune apparently can defend herself, and there's a gigantic battle, and I guess... Oh, actually, it is not Kitsune after all. She calls herself Shizu. And after Usagi saves her life, she kisses Usagi and goes, the sensei is no longer our interest. You take care of him, farewell, and we will meet again. So Usagi just stands there befuddled, and he says that it's Shingen's sister. He eventually reunites himself with his sensei, or at least the sensei that brought him into the village. He reunites with Gen and the turtles. They say their goodbyes, and the turtles are sent back to their own dimension, and the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles are turned back into four turtles in this universe, but in our universe, they're back home. Gen wants to go, I believe, out to the west and claim a bounty, and Usagi wants to go east and continue his pilgrimage. So Gen and Usagi leave the sensei's village, and Gen and Usagi part ways for this story, and that's pretty much it for this story. What did I think of it? 0 being the lowest, 5 being the highest, solid 5. I love the dialogue. The artwork, it's not as dark as Mirage Comics. I mean, the violence is definitely taken down a lot from Mirage. Dark Horse apparently has made this more kid-friendly, and I guess that's understandable, because if this was Mirage, people would have been decapitated left and right, not only by, the turtles, but by Usagi, by his blade. I guess toning it down is not a bad thing. There are times these characters look a little bit very Calvin and Hobbes-esque, like the characters will have, their eyes will have pupils and eyeballs, and there are times they'll just have pupils for eyes. There are times that the characters will look very Charlie Brown-esque, like have that childhood innocence to them. But all in all, to bring the turtles in, it was interesting to see the Mirage Turtles. It was just, again, it was very difficult at times to tell Leonardo from Raphael and Raphael from Michelangelo, because A, it's black and white, and B, unless, you see their weapons sticking out from their, shells or belts or the sashes, because a lot of times you saw a lot of close-up shots of the turtles from the head up, it was hard to tell which turtle was who. And that was the only big thing. But I do like how we had, I'm just going to go on a whim, and I'm sure I'm wrong, and I'm sure I'm 125% wrong, that this ancient sensei rat wizard is an ancestor of Splinter, but still, it was an entertaining story, and I can't wait to read more of Usagi Yojimbo, and I'm sure I'll do a more in-depth review down the road. In the meantime, you know the drill. It's a last-minute Easter special. Sometimes I have time to do notes, sometimes I don't, but I do thank you for listening. We're 25 downloads away, folks, from the TerraVision Thank You podcast. And also this month, there are going to be 3 other podcasts coming out. Well, the Easter special, hopefully the Thank You TerraVision podcast, I have a feeling will be out this month. For my birthday, I will be discussing with Dane Lamont, Citizen Kane. There are 2 other podcasts, but then after that, it may be a total between 4 or 5. I haven't really decided. So far, there'll be close to 55, 56 podcasts at this point. These 4 or 5 are uploaded. I'm going to take a small break. And I'm sure, okay, with the Geekcast Radio Network, I know that we're supposed to at least do a bi-weekly podcast, but I just need to take some personal issues. So I have a feeling I'm not going to be back again until June of 2015, unless, things change, but a lot of personal stuff right now that I have to handle. The good news is, if there have been some podcasts that were on my previous feed on the Podomatic, I should maybe be able to clean them up and sub them for at least 2 podcasts for May. But when I do come back after these podcasts that I just discussed are up and, on the server and so on and so forth and what have you, what's next between when I come back until December 2015. A lot going on. I will be coming back with some more Godzilla podcasts. Actually, I think I know what the 5th podcast is going to be, Earth Day, because I haven't done a Godzilla podcast in a while. It's probably going to be a double feature, Godzilla versus Biollante and Godzilla versus the Smog Monster. So that'll probably cover podcast number 5 for April, but what's June? Lots going on. Probably a UHF review, the Weird Al Yankovic cult movie, and a few other Godzilla movies. I'm sure we're going to do, Wyatt and I did a Mothra retrospective. I'm sure we're going to be doing a King Ghidorah retrospective. There are some Joker comics that I got my hands on that I want to discuss. course, I did not have time to do this for March Madness, but I will be discussing this in the next few months because I heard about this series and I really want to talk about this Batman All-Stars. For October, for Hanukween, I will be discussing the Blair Witch Project series, which is, you know, Book of Shadows and, you know, the first Blair Witch. This November will be the first annual Turkey Day. I have got my hands in some Turkish movies. The Turkish Star Wars, the Turkish Captain America and Spider-Man, Turkish Rambo, Turkish Superman, Turkish Jaws, Turkish Exorcist. There are two Turkish ETs. They are going to be recorded and uploaded for Thanksgiving Day weekend. Then in December, the season finale for this year, well, you know the name, you know the fame, King Kong. We'll be discussing all the King Kong movies, even the Dino Laetis King Kong Lives, but I like the 70s version. And of course, it also marks the 10th anniversary of Peter Jackson's King Kong. And I'll also be discussing briefly the rarity King Kong games that are out there that were for the Spectrum ZX and the Nintendo Famicom that were based on King Kong Lives. And you know what? They're much better than the King Kong Lives movie. And I have not seen... I have it on DVD, but I have not seen King Kong Lives since, I would say, both the theaters and the VHS release. This is going to be so much fun. And then, because I was not able to do this last year, I hopefully will come out this December for Christmas. You're going to be getting the 12 Days of Mary Kiss My Ass, which is pretty much a tradition a friend of mine and I started back in high school, where we would go to school in the last few days before Christmas vacation, even though we really didn't have to for our junior and senior years. We actually could have taken a few days off, per se, because the weather was really bad back then. It was hard to get to school, whether we took the bus or drove in, and we didn't have many classes for our junior and senior year. So we would drive to school, we'd get up dirt early, drive there, we both look at each other, and, you know, 3 days before Christmas vacation, like on Christmas Eve, we'd always turn to each other and say, Mary, kiss my ass. So, Christmas movies that I didn't get to discuss last year, I will be discussing this year. They, of course, are rare exports. I believe there's a Krampus movie coming out, so it's an indie movie, but I will be discussing that and the history of Krampus, as well as Jingle All the Way 1 and Part 2, Santa with Muscles, some other Christmas... Oh, yes, and of course, the Bill Goldberg's, I think, Santa's Sleigh. What I didn't get discussed last year, this year, for New Year's Eve, will be Ghostbusters 2. And then, when we get into Season 3, which will, you know, the day after New Year's Day, come hell or high water, January 2nd, 2016, Season 3 will be the tightest season ever. I already have it down pat, I have my schedule, I'm already working on my notes, I'm already watching the movies, but these episodes will not be released until January 2nd, 2016. I have been getting requests from people on Facebook, and so Season 3 will be 80s themed. 95% will be 80s movies, TV shows, books, anything that dealt with the 80s will be discussed. I say 95% because for March 2016, if the rumors are true, I do want to discuss the Batman-Superman movie, but there'll be this interesting little retro because I want to discuss a few of the DCAU movies leading up to Batman vs. Superman, and because I'm a comic book man and I don't know how where I can put this retro, I will finally be doing a View Askew retrospective for March. So we won't so much get March Madness per se, but it'll still be an interesting, you know, for March 2016. So a lot going on. You can find me at geekcastradio.com and the syndicated shows and many other great shows on the main feed. I believe they came out with a brand new show on Gem the Holograms. They have The Pullback, where occasionally I guest on. There's Pixels in the Animation. And, of course, all the syndicated shows, Turtle Flakes, Doctor Whoiverse, Geek Movie Scholars. Please check out all the content at geekcastradio.com. They also have a donation site. Please go in there to donate. They're trying to reach their $1,000 goal. And as for all the non-Geekcast Radio shows that I subscribe to, please check out Now Playing Podcasts. They have their Spring 2015 donation series going on. You can find out all the details at nowplayingpodcast.com for their spring donations, Anything Ghost, Books and Nachos, Trash Video Podcast, the H.P. Lovecraft Podcast, Disney Film Project, Masterpiece Theater, Real Ghost Stories Online, Toro Ghost Pizzeria Podcast, many, many more. If I've forgotten any of you, you know, please write me at hunnickfeedback@gmail.com. And also, if you want to send like a 44-second ad in MP3 format or whatever format, and I'll convert it to an MP3 and I'll put it on the show. I've already put on the H.P. Lovecraft, the Batcave Podcast, as well as a Trash Video Podcast. Let me know and I'll place your ad on the show. And of course, you can find me at Facebook on Hunnick Outcasts, the group page Hunnick Outcasts, iTunes, and Spreaker. All one word, not plural, Hunnick Outcast, and on the Harley Quinn logo, which was, of course, the artwork was created by Mr. Rene Batista. Twitter, Hunnick Outcast. That's pretty much it. So, other than that, Hunnick Outcast saying happy Easter to all, and for everyone else out there, a bio. So long. And I'm sure I screwed up that pronunciation as well. Good night, folks.
Remote Control is the new TV podcast from the Geekcast Radio Network. We'll be covering TV shows and topics from the year 2000 to whenever now is. We'll have special themed episodes entitled Pilot and Season Premieres, as well as finishing finales. We'll also have Season Pass episodes, where we take a look at an entire season of a TV show. Remote Control can be found on iTunes, Stitcher, and www.geekcastradio.com. So tune in, because we are all remote controlled.
A bodyguard for hire. Unless you want to hire me, leave me alone.
Ha! Well said, Ronan. I like you.